Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, part two of our interview with Tony Sanchez of NV Energy, today talking about immigration. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Stacey Woodbury, Michael Hackett, and John Galtney. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
Just about everything in our lives is happening faster. Instead of just keeping up, NV Energy plans ahead so that Nevada families have the energy they need now and well into the future.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Look who benefits from Nevada mining, because mining contributes to products that touch our lives every day. Sensors and airbags and smoke detectors. Lime, gypsum, and copper for construction. Lithium for our smartphones and hybrid car batteries. Gold for life-saving medical equipment. And computers wouldn't work without products from mining. Products used all over the world come from right here in Nevada. Mining supports Nevada's families and their dreams. Visit our website and learn more.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
This segment is sponsored by Forte LLP, a locally owned economic development and government relations firm. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
I'm back on Nevada Newsmakers, part two of our conversation with Tony Sanchez. He is a senior vice president of government and community strategy with NV Energy. But for today, I want to turn to a completely different topic with you.
Sure.
And talk about immigration.
Okay.
And you've been a Hispanic leader in the state for many, many years, and you have seen so much. The last time that we saw major immigration reform, it took from 1977 under Jimmy Carter to 1986 with Ronald Reagan to get the job done. And I followed that legislation very closely, and it was amazing the number of bombs that were dropped along the way. You thought that it was going to get somewhere, boom, it got derailed. And we saw this even a few years ago when President George W. Bush, along with Senator Reid and John McCain, were trying to get immigration reform through. Politics blew that one up. But it seems like the results of the last election have really sent out a signal saying that this is the time. And I think even more so the fact that you have eight major United States senators involved in this debate.
That's right,
that bipartisan. Potentially we could see something coming out. Your thoughts on this?
We're a nation of immigrants, Sam. I think it's folks don't realize it's been close to 30 years since we've had comprehensive immigration reform. It is obviously long overdue. It has to be done in a bipartisan fashion. Everything does, right? But this is an incredibly complex, very emotional matter for folks. And we have a very growing, dynamic immigrant community. It's not just Hispanic. It's from all over the world, literally. Look at the history of our country, whether it was the German immigrants, whether it was Italian immigrants, English, Irish, from Africa, everywhere, you name it. We are a nation of immigrants, and this is, you know, while the predominant amount of immigration is coming from Mexico and south of the border, it is something that has been long overdue, and it needs to be done right after an election, because the closer you tend to get to elections, the closer you know, folks seem to get entrenched. But I think folks are past the demagoguery and the, you know, blaming these immigrants for coming here for wanting to make better lives for themselves. I mean, I didn't blame my grandfather when he came from Mexico, 80 years ago to make a better life for his family, which I've been the beneficiary of. So it's a very exciting time, and I certainly hope this bipartisan group of eight senators you've mentioned, led by both Democrats and Republicans alike, is very successful. Senator Rubio was in Las Vegas on Friday. He has a very incredibly well-done organization, and this is going to be a signature issue for him personally. As you know, lived many years in Las Vegas himself. Came from
cousin of State Senator Mo Dennis.
Mo Dennis, but his parents came from Cuba, for example. So I think we have folks that want to do the right thing, and I have really, for the first time, am enthused and really believe something's going to get done this time.
Well, it's interesting because as we related back in the early part of this conversation, the election was solidly from the Hispanic community in favor of President Obama, mm-hmm. and the Democratic Party. And it seems pragmatic that the Republican side would want to move toward the center on this issue, just because they don't want to lose what is going to be a rapidly growing demographic, especially in the West and Southwest.
That is true. But to say that the Republican Party doesn't have a long history in immigration policy overlooks what you said at the outset of the show, which was it was President Reagan that brought it home back in 1986 with his leadership. And I think a lot of whether they be conservatives on one end of the political spectrum or liberals on the other, recognize that there's going to be a happy medium. You're going to have additional border security done. You're going to look at the number of visas that folks can utilize to come here. But we have pressing needs. We have entire generations of young folks, and you're very familiar with the DREAM Act, but they came here through no fault of their own. That for all they know, they've been raised here in the United States their entire lives, and then to find out they might have come over with their parents for economic reasons, and yet they're not citizens, can't go to college, or hard to get a job. I mean, those types of issues, as long as you don't have a serious criminal record, as long as you're paying your taxes, I think those are the types of issues that this bipartisan group of senators are going to look at, and I think
they've got
a great framework.
Let's expand it out and say that
sure.
You have two people that are two groups that are not natural friends normally, which is the United States Chamber of Commerce and the AFL-CIO, working together on this.
That is right, and politics makes strange bedfellows, as they say. But it is. It's the business community that recognizes the need for certain types of labor, which has been the foundation of the building of our country. But at the same time, you have organized labor as well that sees opportunities. I really, really think there's a win-win here, and I think they've never been closer, and I certainly hope it happens before the summer.
All right, let's take a break and come back and talk about timelines and all the things that are getting entangled in this and
sure.
how they may help or hinder. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Pro Business Workers Comp Company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI water and sewer companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard. While biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. the facts so you can succeed, so you can plan, so you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This segment is sponsored by Fortech LLP, a locally owned economic development and government relations firm. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Tony Sanchez, who's the Senior Vice President of Government and Community Strategy for NV Energy, one of our proud sponsors, by the way. But we're talking about immigration, something that you've been involved in for a very long time. One of the things that's interesting to me is that there are lots of different levels of legality and legitimacy in terms of immigration. People seem to concentrate on citizenship. But in a lot of cases, that isn't what people want. They want the ability to come to this country, work, go back to their own country, either take the money back with them or go back to their families or whatever. There are lots of different levels before you get to citizenship, temporary residency,
right,
which would allow us to, A, identify people, to know who they were, where they are, paying taxes, get driver's licenses.
That's right.
And then you go on to permanent residency status long before you ever get to citizenship. Your thoughts about how that seems to get lost in this discussion.
It does, but as you've noted, Nevada obviously is a changing demographic, but look at our legislature. 15 years ago when I started working, at the legislature, there were no Hispanic elected officials, or very, very few. Today you've got several in the assembly. The Senate Majority Leader is of Cuban descent. You've got other Hispanic senators, and what happens is a natural progression of that. I mean, we also have the first Hispanic governor in our state's history. We have the first Hispanic attorney general in our state's history. But at the same time, as we saw a couple weeks ago, Senator Dennis, the majority leader, was able to pass a driving privilege card for undocumented citizens. And folks are, why would we want them to be driving, for example? Well, they're going to drive, irrespective of whether they have a license or not. So why not license them, make sure they get insurance, make sure our roads are safer? It's something that we've seen throughout the country with success, in particular in Utah. But there are those types of issues that are being dealt with, as you indicated, long before you become a citizen. There are these different steps that need to be addressed by our public policymakers, and I think you're seeing a lot of that, and I think you're seeing a lot of focus from the governor to the attorney general to the legislature, and that's exciting.
Well, one of the things that's interesting is that they've pushed out, potentially at least if this legislation goes through, that citizenship would take 13 years. I think it's interesting, and nobody really has discussed this, I don't think, to this point. And you were right that certainly President Reagan was responsible for sealing the deal on the last major immigration reform. But in the last few years, the Tea Party certainly has caused a lot of consternation amongst immigrant communities, and that has been in part what has put a lot of Hispanics onto the Democratic side.
Well, but you said the Tea Party. That's not the Republican Party. Okay, so that's there are variations of both ends of the spectrum.
Marco Rubio is certainly,
he's a Republican. He is one of the leaders of this effort, just like Governor Sandoval.
I'm not saying that you have a
national leader with the Republican Party with respect to outreach to the Hispanic community.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that, what were formerly libertarians have become part of the Republican Party and have caused a lot of consternation to a lot of moderate Republicans over the last few years.
Sure.
Having 13 years before citizenship means 13 years before people would actually be able to vote, which gives, I believe, the Republican Party a lot of time to mend fences and have a very strong outreach towards the people that may have gone to the Democratic side before. Would you disagree with that?
Well, it's at ebbs and flows. When George Bush was elected in 2000, he came from a border state, Texas. So he got close to 45% of the Hispanic vote. and he was very strongly supported by the Hispanic community. I think, Senator McCain did particularly well as well, coming from Arizona. But we saw the last nominee, it just didn't have that connection, you know, with a border state that I think there was a perception issue.
Which was an irony, considering his family background, where
originally
he
a lot of them from Mexico. I know that was very interesting. So this is certainly not something that's going to take the Republican Party 13 years to make amends. I think the influence of the Tea Party is at its lowest that we've seen over the past 5 years. I think there's no room for that type of demagoguery, or whoever it might be, Tea Party or otherwise.
But also there's a practical realization. For example, in Nevada, the Hispanic population right now is 25%. Mm-hmm. The voting Hispanic population is 20%. That is a huge number.
The eligible to vote, yes,
right.
Is 20%. And you know, that's not to say that every Hispanic in Nevada cares about the immigration issue or is actually impacted. I mean, I'm not directly impacted, but do I certainly know dozens of family, friends, and folks that are going to be impacted by something like this? Absolutely. It's something that that Governor Sandoval has recognized is very important for our state. I think our legislature here believes in it, obviously, as does Senator Heller, Senator Reed, our entire Nevada congressional delegation are part of this. And you know what? This is why Nevada was one of the fastest growing states in the country. Was because of our immigrant populations helped build Nevada into what it is today, and knock on wood, it's on its way back, and I think that these communities of color are going to play a disproportionate role in the future of Nevada.
Well, and it's interesting too, because where you see unions failing all around the country or diminishing, in Nevada they are very strong.
Absolutely.
And there are a lot of Hispanic. The head of the culinary union in Nevada now is Hispanic.
That's right, Gioconda. It's interesting, when I was president of the Latin Chamber of Commerce, I used to say I was the president of the largest Hispanic organization in the state, and culinary would politely remind me that they were, 40,000 strong. But it's, it's a melting pot in Nevada, and it's very exciting, and better times are around the corner, I think.
And I would agree, and I think it'll be interesting, as you do have both sides with a lot involved in this, that if there is ever going to be a time, this will be the time, because if it doesn't happen this year, it's going to be a long ways off.
I think there's been a clear signal from the leadership of both major parties something's going to happen this year, and whatever we can do to help and have our folks write to their elected officials and express support and not, like I said, demagogue the issue. And there's nothing to fear from these from immigrant communities and immigrants wanting to come here and make a better life for themselves. And as you noted, a lot of them don't want to become citizens. They want to come here, fill a vital need with respect to areas of underemployment in our country, and go back to their homes. And I think you've seen a lot of that over the past 4 years, merely because of the downturn in the economy. So
people are going to go to where the work is.
They always have, and they always will.
And that's where we're going to leave it. Thank you so
much.
I appreciate
Sam.
Your time over the last couple of shows. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this time.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, Safe Ride Home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe voting campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Only at Home Solutions at Ace. A whole collection of all-new recliner pedic recliners from Southern Motion. The same memory foam found in brand-name mattresses. And starting at just $399. And all American-made, like most of our furniture. What's more, Home Solutions at Ace is the ultimate custom furniture dealer in Northern Nevada. Pick your wood. Pick your finish. Pick your fabric. Heck, bring in your design. And we'll work with you to create whatever you have in mind. It's all here and more at your locally owned Home Solutions at Ace. The hardware store that contains an entire furniture center.
At Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, we know you need health insurance that covers your family as they grow.
Sorry, Dad.
Oh, good.
And if you don't get health insurance through work...
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield offers coverage your family can count on.
Whoa, slow down, Chief.
Especially parents. Whether you need basic coverage for yourself or more protection for your family, Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield offers a variety of coverage options for different needs and budgets. If you're self-employed, retiring early, or can't get health coverage at work, call Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield today for a free quote. Call 1-800-868-0714 or visit anthemforhealth.com to compare plans and apply.
Did you get that number?
I wrote it down.
Affordable coverage from a name you can trust. Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Michael Hackett is here with Auris Consulting. Stacy Woodbury is president of Appearances LLC. And John Galtney is president emeritus of Truckee Meadows Community College. And as we were about to begin the taping this morning, the Senate Republicans announced their education priority initiative, which will serve as a competing measure to the flawed margins tax, according to them, in the 2014 general election. It's supported by Senators Robeson, Kieckhefer, Hardy, Brower, Hammond, and Hutchison. It will generate over $600 million per biennium to accomplish the following three education priorities: reduce class sizes by hiring thousands of new teachers, develop and fund English language learner programs, and establish an education stabilization fund. And they will do it by putting a 10% net proceeds tax on gold and silver mining revenue, which will be specifically dedicated to state funding for education. In addition, local governments in rural Nevada will continue to receive net proceeds tax revenue on gold and silver mining at current levels. Mr. Hackett, your thoughts?
Well, I don't think it's any surprise that we were going to see something come forward that would compete with the margins tax. I think that had been the concern all along, and especially with the amount of support the margins tax had in terms of the number of people who signed it. But I think as I look at what you just described, I think it's going to be the same dynamic just going before the voters as opposed to what we see here in the legislature, where you're going to have a certain segment that's looking for something on a broader base level, which is what the margins tax allegedly is going to be about. And then you have something here with this initiative that is more, that is not more, it is industry specific. So you have the same dynamic in play, but one is going before the voters now and taking away from the legislature.
Stacey?
Well, I applaud them for what they're doing, Sam, but my concern is that what may get lost in this is we've got to have an effective teacher in that classroom, and there were some important reforms made last session, but they're kind of lagging behind on trying to make that final step to tying teacher performance and retention with effectiveness. And if we put thousands of new teachers in the classroom that aren't effective, that isn't going to help. We have to be able to keep the best and the brightest and the most effective teachers, and that's one of the keys to reforming in the classroom.
I believe you just got served, John.
Well, first of all, I want to applaud them for thinking outside the box. Traditionally, Republicans haven't been all that excited about coming up with tax initiatives.
And you're a Republican.
I'm a Republican. Given that situation, I think they're to be commended for looking for an alternative. I'm clearly on record saying I think the margins tax is not a good tax. It's not a good tax because it will affect economic growth in the state more negatively than this tax will. So I think the two alternatives, if you're saying this or this as a choice, clearly that the initiative they put forth is a superior alternative.
One of the things, though, is that, again, you know, just because you're saying that you could put money towards education doesn't mean to say that the legislature can't take money that's already put toward education and move it out of that and back into the general fund.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's the situation we find out whenever we have budget dealings at the legislature is, okay, how do you keep the money where it is? What do they feel is the best use of that money? And how do they go about putting it into where they feel it should be as opposed to where it may be sitting right now?
And haven't we gone this round before by initiative with the then Congressman Gibbons and the Education First Initiative, where we're supposed to fund education first, and now they've decided that means they just pass that bill first.
First, right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead, John.
We're in the Gwynn room here, and I took serious issue with Gwynn over the fact that a large tax initiative took place during that period of time. When you actually look at how the pie was cut up during that period of time, it clearly was... Education was held hostage to get it passed, but education was not the total beneficiary of that tax increase by a long shot. So unfortunately, game playing inside the chambers takes place, and we're not quite sure where the money goes.
And the speaker, in published reports, said that the services tax is dead. Is that a good deal or bad deal?
Well, I think it's good because I think there are so many unknowns in that in terms of what type of service would be eligible for this particular type of tax. And I know from clients that I work with, specifically healthcare providers, physicians, that was a big concern among our group in terms of, well, how do you draw those lines of distinction from essential medical care to what is considered optional medical care, or things like that. So I think there was just too much gray area in that, and I think it's a good move not to go forward.
And I think businesses would just have adapted to find ways to get around it.
Well, it's definitely a pass-through cost. I think it's disingenuous because it's just going to get pushed right through the consumer, and the lawyers are going to hate it.
John, your thoughts on how the pie is being divided up amongst the university system? It seems like nobody is happy.
Usually when nobody's happy, it's fairly done, to say the least. Obviously, the big problem is fighting over the fact that so many cuts have taken place, and then the North-South issue, which has
blown up again.
When I walked into the state in 1986, somebody told me, are you going to get used to the North-South issue? I said, I came from Illinois, where Chicago and the rest of the state exists. I understand North-South. I thought probably the formula as it existed, it was superior to this. There's some real holes in this formula. If I were as active as I were a few years ago, I'd probably be walking the halls here in opposition to this formula.
Okay, and that's where we got to leave it. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Attention homeowners. In 2012, Nevada suffered the worst hardships in the nation. 2013 is the time to take action. New laws have been passed to help homeowners with a fresh start.
Hi, I'm Marshall at Marshall Realty, and right now there's more options for homeowners than I've ever seen in the past. So if you've tried everything else, don't give up. I promise you, with our resources and proven track record, you will find results. Call Marshall Realty today at 525-1205, and we'll help you get on the road to recovery.
If you always ask yourself, what's next, the Charter Triple Play is for you. Get it and stay on top of everything in TV, internet, and phone for just $29.99 a month each when bundled. Call 855-276-GET3. You can watch the next big game and the next hot show with 100-plus HD channels available. With On Demand, there are over 10,000 movies and shows to watch instantly. Watch TV on your smartphone, tablet, or other devices with mobile apps like Watch ESPN, Watch Disney Channel, HBO Go, and tons more. Charter TV, just $29.99 a month. Charter Internet is not just next, it's also fast. At up to 30 megabits per second, the nation's most powerful internet is 10 times faster than DSL. Enough bandwidth to support all of your devices. Order now, 855-276-GET3. Who do you want to talk to next? Call anyone with unlimited calling and none of the added fees of the phone company. Get Charter Phone. Want what's next? Get the Charter Triple Play. TV, internet, and phone, just $29.99 a month each when bundled with no contracts. Call 855-276-GET3.
Could you use up to $2,500 in minutes? We've got you covered. We are Dollar Loan Center, your community's short-term lender. No checking account required, no application fees, and no prepayment penalties. From Sioux Falls, South Dakota to Los Angeles, California, apply at one of our 80 locations or complete your entire loan online at don'tbebroke.com.
As we continue our coverage of the Nevada legislature from the Gwynn Room in the governor's annex, on the next broadcast, State Senator Joe Arty. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.